Welcome into the House of L podcast. I am Lawrence Holmes. Thank you so much for listening to today's pod. I have been on a search for a new baseball team because I'm not rolling with the White Sox until there are some major changes. So I'm looking around and I'm trying some teams on, talking to people, talking to friends that have been around these teams and can offer better perspective on these teams than I can. We've already talked with Steven Nelson, who is play-by-play for the Dodgers. You should go back and listen to that episode. Should I be a Dodger fan? We talked with Laura Britt, who does pre- and post-game, my old partner. We work together on Stadium. She does pre- and post for the Giants. She made a convincing argument about the Giants. I'm not going to lie. You can go back to listen to that episode. Or you can just hang out and listen to this episode. The Rays are intriguing to me because their baseball operation works exactly the way a baseball operation works. Would you prefer that they spend a lot of money? Yeah, that would be ideal. You'd like to have, that's what the Dodgers are. The Dodgers are the Rays with money. And you can spend your way out of problems or mistakes if you're the Dodgers. The Rays, they don't, that's not how they get down. But their baseball ops, their scouting and development has been excellent. So I put them on the list because they're a team that's always contending. With a low budget and an owner that's not really trying to spend that much money, with no fans, they are still out here winning. And that's impressive to me. So I reached out to my guy, John Mamola, a.k.a. Rock Mamola. Rock used to work at The Score. In fact, he was my intern on the Murph and Fred show. The guy has he was great with sound production. And we used to turn a lot of, me and Maddie used to turn a lot of stuff over to him because he was so good at it at a very young age. And he learned the business. He's learned the business so well that he's now the program director of WDAE in Tampa, 95.3. The sports talk. He's been there for a while too. And I figured, if there was anyone down there that I could trust to tell me the truth about the Rays, it would be him. So this is our conversation. Let's see if it's convincing. Let's see if the Rays are a match for me and maybe for you if you're looking for a new team. This is me and Rock.
All right, got me?
Yes, that is much better. Woo!
All right.
How about us?
Old school.
Going super old school here. This is ridiculous. Oh, goodness. All right, so I'll restart, and I'll say, look, I am looking for a new team. I've had enough of the White Sox. I have decided that I'm jumping off the ship until Jerry Reinsdorf is no longer the owner of the team. Mm. I'd like to find a new team. You know me. I love good baseball. The Rays, mm-hmm. The Rays play really good baseball, and they're able to do it on a budget. So I ask you, how are the Rays able to do what they do?
I think the easiest route to that is always thinking outside of the box. There's not a formula that always works with the Tampa Bay Rays. That's why you have, you know, every new couple seasons, you have a new general manager, even though you have success. You have a new, you know, bouts of random up-and-coming superstars from the AAA Durham, you know, team or something like that. There's no like book to win in Tampa Bay when it comes to competing in the American League East, because they do everything from top to bottom so radically different than the Yankees, Red Sox, and now with the Orioles and the Blue Jays. They are the envy of baseball because they're David to everyone's Goliath, and they continue to find ways to win year in and year out. They've been to the postseason for four straight seasons, albeit the postseason appearances haven't been great,
right?
All, you know, outside of 2020. But I would say it's an always thinking outside of the box mentality, because they know what they're going into every season with because they don't have what the other teams have.
What a great space to be in as a fan, where you already have the built-in David and versus Goliath like trope. Like, it's already built in if you're a Rays fan, considering the division that you're competing in.
Mm-hmm.
How have you seen that manifest itself with fans in Tampa Bay?
Well, it's funny because when you originally asked me to do this, and by the way, this sounds vaguely familiar from years back, but I wish you good searching in your journey, and hopefully Tampa Bay is that team. Tampa Bay is very similar to, I feel, Chicago. Root for the team on the field, not necessarily for the owner. The owner down here, Stuart Sternberg, is not in good favor with the fan base. It's a very split divide. You want your team to be successful. You root for the underdog. But at the same time, they're an underdog because, we've all seen Major League, right?
Yes.
The owner doesn't want to spend money because she wants to move the team to Miami, right? It's almost the exact same thing here because the owner, now he hasn't stated he wants to move the team. Actually, he has stated he wants to keep the team here. But it's almost like every opportunity that they have had to increase payroll, he's negated it. We just had FanFest a couple of weeks ago here at the Trop, where my station broadcast for 6 hours. We had him on the air. And he said getting his payroll into the $90 million range is uncomfortable for him. That rubs off terrible with the fans. It just does, right? But you do have that David mentality. You do have that underdog mentality. And the people of Tampa Bay have always felt like they've always been dogs. They have 2 Super Bowl titles. They have 3 Stanley Cups. They don't have a World Series title yet, but they've always felt like they're forgotten. And it's a perfect correlation to being a White Sox fan, I feel, than as well as being a Tampa Bay Rays fan.
Yeah, you're right. But, I mean, you're already putting some doubt in my mind, though, if that's how the owner gets down. That's definitely a little scary.
Hey, look, I'm here to sell you on the idea, but I'm also here to give you a sense of reality, look.
Well,
this is what the reality is.
And see, honestly, like, it's fans like you that would make me, like that gives me, like, hope. Because you're like, look, man, it's not all seashells and balloons down here, but the baseball operation for Tampa has been so good that it can make you kind of overlook anything else. So I've been down there. It's rough as far as a fan experience of going to the Trop, but you're down there more than I am. You're in that space. What is there about, is there anything from a fan standpoint to enjoy other than the baseball?
I mean, once in a while they'll do a cheap beer night where on Friday night you can get in for $20 and you get, I think, 2 beers and the ticket, which is great. I mean, they're one of the more affordable baseball teams left. It's not hard to get to the Trop. It's not hard to get into the Trop. The problem is it's the Trop. It's the only permanent dome stadium in Major League Baseball. It's a mausoleum when you walk into it. It just is. You know, the acoustics of the stadium are not great. The sight lines, I mean, it's wide open. They close the upper deck because they can't sell it, right? So, I mean, the sight lines around the field are just great. The problem is it's old, you know? So I would say from a fan experience, what do I look forward to in a Rays game? I look forward to going to a game where I know that my ticket is not my permanent seat. They built over the past couple of years what's called the 360, where you can walk around the entire ballpark and basically see the entire game from any seat in the stadium. I would say if there's an open seat, ushers ain't stopping you, right? Because they want it to look good for television. So you could move. You could buy something in the outfield and end up probably right behind the dugout. That's a good thing. Plus,
that sounds very White Soxian.
I mean, it just is, though. I mean, I'm telling you, Lawrence, there's a lot of similarities. I mean, look, Lovie Smith came down here after I left. You know, The Chicago Blackhawks played in the Stanley Cup final after I left, right? I mean, there's a lot of Chicago correlations here since I left the Windy City. So I would say the best part about coming to the Trop, it's a cheap, it's affordable ticket to get in. You watch good baseball because the baseball is good. And then you go out to Central Street and you kind of hang out at Ferg's and kind of enjoy the ambiance of what makes St. Pete really special. So it's not necessarily, you know, the most fan-friendly experience inside, but it's cheap and affordable to where you can have a really good time overall.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's your favorite? Like, is it better to do like a weekend series? Or do you like a good weekday series down there? Because go ahead.
I like a good weekend series because you got a 6:50 start on a Friday night, which is early. So you're going to get out probably around 9 o'clock. So Friday night in downtown St. Pete, that's the place to be. I mean, there's certain places around all of Tampa Bay, Tampa, St. Pete, Clearwater. Downtown St. Pete on a Friday night, that's the place to be. You stay in St. Pete, cheap hotel, right? Saturday games. Mainly are at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so you can get a good breakfast, go to the ball game, and still enjoy, you know, the nightlife. And then Sunday, you got a 1:10 first pitch, 1:40 first pitch. You're done by 4 o'clock, and then you head out of town. You know, it's a really nice weekend. So I would do weekend series over week series because the week series just seems lifeless. Like when Kansas City comes to town and they're playing on a Tuesday night, I mean, you're lucky if you have 5,000 people in that building. Mm. It's just absolutely lifeless. So. If I had to pick one or the other, I definitely pick weekend, for sure.
Let's talk stuff inside the ballpark, food to eat. What's your favorite thing? Is there a quintessential thing that's connected with the Trop that someone down there could go and eat?
You know, Cuban sandwiches are really big down here. They try Cuban sandwiches at the Trop. It's just not as good. You know, it's like, If you go to, all right, so if you go to, you know, Stock Park, right? I mean, you got to get, you know, a beef, right? But
yes.
Is it better than the beef you can get in the city? Probably not, right? So they try. It's not great, but it's not good either. I would say, the popcorn's stale as hell. It's probably been there since the 2020 season. It's not great. The good thing is free refills on sodas.
Oh, okay.
Right? So $11, you get your cup, and you come back as many times as you want. Free sodas, right? And that's perfect for families. Again, it's a very affordable day for families to come out. So free sodas, I would say, are a plus. I think if I had to pick one delicacy, they have this like chili dog kind of contraption. But I mean, it's. They're trying to recreate like the greatest chili dog of all time, like take away from Cincinnati, but it's not the greatest. But of all the food items, it's probably the best you can get for your dollar.
What's it like when the Yankees or the Red Sox come into the Trop?
It's gotten better. I would say when I first moved down here, believe this or not, 2011.
Oh my God.
It's been that long. It's been here 13 years now. I would say when I first moved down here, it was Bronx South. It was Fenway South. It was very heavily populated by Yankees and Red Sox fans. And look, the Yankees, their spring training's in Tampa. So it's not like it's too far of a drive for Yankee fans to go check out their team, right? I would say in recent years, it's been a lot better, and I think winning has definitely helped that. There's definitely a lot more Rays to Yankees, Rays to Red Sox ratio, where it's favoring more Rays. I would say, though, that the Orioles contingent, and their spring training is down in Sarasota, which is about 30 minutes away from the Trop. I would say in recent years, I've noticed that the Orioles fans are actually surging more into the building as opposed to Yankees, Red Sox fans. Why, I don't know. He had a great season last year, obviously, but for whatever reason, the Baltimore fans are really starting to show up, you know, especially the last couple of years. But the atmosphere, it's always a road game for the Ravens. So you got to play in that mentality. And I've talked to players about this. It's the most unusual circumstances possible because you know that their fans are going to be louder than ours. So it's almost like you're always constantly playing road games, but it makes the home wins that much more sweet when you can beat the road team. So it's almost like a reverse psychology kind of deal. But, I mean, they're loud. I mean the place is loud no matter who's scoring. Because one way you got the opponent scoring, one way you got the home team scoring, but either way, it's a really fun atmosphere.
Okay. All right. This is definitely reminiscent of my experience as a White Sox fan. So it might be a really easy fandom for me to slide into.
There's a lot of Midwest down here, Lawrence. There's a lot of Midwest. So it's almost like home. It's almost like, oh, we got Portillo's now. Come on down.
Yeah, and I mean, look, I've had fun in Tampa. I enjoy Ybor City. You know what I mean?
I love Ybor.
So I mean, that's – and being there in the wintertime is an absolute joy. So, All right, I'm gonna think about this. Listen, Rock, I appreciate you, man. You know how I feel about you.
You're my radio pappy, man. That's why when you call, it's like, absolutely, whatever you need.
I appreciate it. One more thing. Let me ask you one more thing. As someone who programs a sports radio station, what are Rays fans like for your host?
What are they like for my host?
Yeah, like when calls come in, like, yeah. How much do people care, or is it all Bucks all the time down there? Is there a vocal fan base that maybe doesn't show up to games, but when the Rays lose a tough series or they win a big series, they're showing up on your phone lines?
I mean, look, I mean, this is the South. Football's king, right? So, I mean, we could talk Bucks 24/7, 365. We could talk SEC football, you know, 24/7, 365 if we wanted to. I would say, and also as the partner at Flagship Station for the Tampa Bay Rays, I would say there's a very passionate fan base. The radio ratings go through the roof. The television ratings have been very healthy. The social media interaction with the team is very bountiful each and every year. There is a surge of fans out there for Tampa Bay Rays baseball that do care day in and day out. I would say, though, that the relationship, especially with the stadium conversation since I've been here, for the past 13, 14 years, has really soured the fan base on showing up. And you know, people want to dog the trot for the location, location, location. Yes, it's in St. Pete. Yes, it's on the other side of the water. Yes, you have to go over bridges. Fine. I remember going from Streamwood, Illinois, to the south side of Chicago many times, and that drive wasn't that long, you know. I would say, though, that the ownership trying this whole split idea within the last 5 years of Montreal and St. Pete really soured the fan base.
On players. That would be a thing that sells it for me. I freaking love Montreal.
Well, see, I've never been to Montreal, and according to the owner, the Montreal to Tampa St. Pete area tourism is apparently very strong. First of all, to put a team in one place half the year and to put it in another the other half. Okay, fine. I could see that, maybe. But what do you call it? Where do you put the playoffs if they make it? I mean, how do you keep it even, right? Because you're basically asking two markets to support one team. So how do you make it even for everybody? Because both markets will have to invest in the team, whether it's financially or just giving a damn, right? Because what you don't want is you go up to Montreal, oh, everything's new, everyone's packing the stadium, whatever, blah. Then you come back to St. Pete, and no one's there, right? Because out of sight, out of mind, right? Look, we got a beach. Like, Clearwater is literally 30 minutes from my house, right? We can go to the beach. And the Buccaneers play in Tampa, and football's 365. I mean, if you're not keeping the attention of the fan base, and you just expect to, you know, walk down here and say, hey, here we are, you know, we're in first place, no one's going to care. right? Because they didn't keep up. So I would say the attendance gets a bad rap, but there's definitely legitimate reasons for it, and it starts with the owner of the team. He has not really embraced the entire area. He's a Mets fan. He goes to Mets games. Very rarely is he down here in Tampa Bay, watching games at the Rays Stadium, right? The Montreal split really hurt the fan base. So, and not being able to keep guys like Evan Longoria and David Price and James Shields and keep going, Carl Crawford, not being able to keep these guys as lifelong Rays. It's going to happen with the Rosarena. It's going to happen with, it happened with Kevin Kiermaier. They tried to keep him, but then they had to go away. That hurts building a fan base. But there is a fan base, and they love this team. It's just they don't go.
All right,
and there's reasons for it.
So listen, now I'm going to give you an assignment. You need to go to Montreal.
Okay.
I'm telling you, like, I had always heard about Montreal, and they had, during COVID, they had all the restrictions. We couldn't go to Canada, right? As soon as the restrictions lifted, I went to Montreal, and I've been back every year. So when I go in May, it'll be my fourth time going to Montreal. It is one of my favorite cities on the planet. It is awesome. Okay. You will love it. There is history. You can get around. You don't have to speak French.
That's my biggest concern.
So if you understand like enough Spanish because it's romance language stuff, you will be fine there.
Okay.
Also, they pretty much cater to English speakers there. So you're good. The food is amazing.
Okay.
The people are really nice. And the city is awesome. They also have a lot of baseball tradition because that's where Jackie Robinson was before he was in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge mural to Jackie Robinson. It's a city of neighborhoods like similar to Chicago. Like it is one of the coolest places I've ever been. So, and they desperately want baseball back in Montreal.
They do, and that was one of the more interesting conversations that we had down here, speaking with people that do live in Montreal. We called up the ownership group that they thought was going to invest, and talking to sports radio people up there. There really is a passion to bring baseball back in the city of Montreal.
Yep.
I just don't think the Rays, or really the Athletics for that matter, are the right fit. I think it has to be an expansion.
I agree with you.
I just don't think baseball wants to put a full-time team in Montreal right now.
I agree with you, but put it on your list of places to go. Go in the spring or in the summer because it's very much like Chicago where it's fantastic in the spring and summer, and it is brutal in the winter.
I will put that on my calendar. I got New York in a couple of weeks. I got Vegas and Memphis. I'm going to Memphis for the first time.
Oh, great.
The beginning of next month. So looking forward to that.
All right. Well, Rock, man, thanks for doing this. I appreciate you making the case for the Rays.
Hey, I tried my best. And Lawrence, I'm telling you, anything you need, just a phone call. That's all you need.
That's what I'm talking about. Sir, have a wonderful rest of your evening, and thank you very much.
Absolutely.
So I got to tell you, I am underwhelmed by the case of the Rays. I don't know. I guess maybe I was thinking it would be more than what it was, but there's not enough. I mean, I'm not going to eliminate them totally. I'm still thinking about this, but it is not. I think I'm going to have to go down to the Trop. I think I'm going to have to take Rock up on his word and I have to go visit him and go down to the Trop and see if I dig that. I will tell you that whenever the White Sox would play Tampa Bay in Tampa Bay, or whenever someone, like if it's a playoff game or whatever, I'd get sleepy. There's something about that place and the way that it's lit that just makes me sleepy. So, okay. Not really a convincing argument. I think Steven and Laura did a much better job in talking about the the Dodgers and the Giants, respectively. But we'll see. There's no rush, right? Like, I still got time. Appreciate you listening. Thanks to John Mamola. He does a great job as a sports director. I love seeing that his career has turned into this. Very, very proud of him. And I get to say that because he was my intern. So there. Have a great time. Thank you for listening to the pod. There'll be another team soon. Peace.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.